Good morning. Today I'll be reading Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name.
You please stand and join me.
God is able, he will never fail, he is almighty God, greater than all we seek, greater than all we ask, he has done great things, lifted up, he defeated the grave, raised to
come, Lord Jesus.
Apart, I need you.
Well, good morning. Have you ever had a weird feeling that someone or something was watching you and you turned around and nobody was there? When you experience this, sometimes you may think that you're being preyed upon. Well, that is what today's communion meditation theme is going to be about, sin that preys upon you. Now, before I go on, I do want to state that I'm not saying that one sin is okay and another is not. Sin is sin, whether we like it or not. We have to remember that all sin is equal. It pretty much boils down to when we sin, we are disobeying God's will and command. Because 1 John 5:17, all wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. And Romans 3:23, for all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And for today's communion meditation, I want to focus about predators. And I know when you're thinking of predators, you're thinking of tigers and lions and bears. Oh my, right? Well, we're not going to talk about the predators themselves. Now, don't get me wrong, they are predators, but we're not going to talk about the predators themselves. We're going to be talking about some of the different hunting strategies that predators do. Now, today's meditation, I'm only going to focus on three. There are definitely a lot more. We would be here a while if I went over all of them. But I do want to relate on how this kind of relates to Scripture, because it says 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So the first type of hunting strategy are your ambush predators. And a great example of this are muskellunge or muskyfitch, which some of you have probably have caught before. And what they do is they like to hide in the tall grass, and they wait for a little fish that gets close and near. And with all its might, it's like a torpedo. It comes out of that grass so quickly that that little fish doesn't get a chance to react. It just basically comes out of nowhere. The second type of hunting strategy are your chasing predators. And I thought a great example of this would be your cheetahs. Because cheetahs do stalk their prey for a little while, and then they kind of calculate about when is the right moment, the right time to take down their prey. But as they do that, they're chasing or running towards their prey, and that prey has time to react. Should I stay or should I go? And the third hunting strategy is your slow killer predators. And I thought of parasites such as ticks and lungworms and heartworms and etc. I know all those little gross little creatures. And I know you're probably thinking, how are little parasites, how are they considered a predator? Well, if you think about it, they are killing their prey, but at a lot slower rate. Parasites are designed to steal nutrients from their prey very, very slow, because eventually that prey will pass away if not treated. And when I was thinking of this communion meditation, I said, you know what, we could compare the human sinful lives as are the different hunting strategies, as I mentioned. So I have because sin comes in different shapes, sizes, and forms. So I got a series of questions to ask you. Does your sin ambush you like a muskie? Does it wait patiently for you? And as soon as you get close to its range, then it's that sin strikes, and you have no time to react. Or is your sin like the cheetah? Does it use all of its might to pursue you? And at this time, you do have the time to react, and you see that sin coming, and you have to decide, should I stay or should I go? Or is the sin a slow killer, just like the parasites? Is your sin slowly destroying you, taking every bit of you away? And I'll admit, I probably have experienced all of these three scenarios in my life before. I know a lot of us have as well. But you know what? We don't have to let sin control our lives anymore. We have a great and graceful God that has the power to forgive our past, present, and future sins. We just must accept for what he did on the cross and be his children. Because, again, Jesus died on the cross to cover his blood for our sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, as we will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this great, wonderful day you have provided. Lord, as we come here in communion, Lord, just help with our hearts. Help us, give us the ability to examine our hearts and what we have done and what could come in the future. Lord, I just ask you to just also help us remember what your Son did on the cross when he died and covered our sins. And Lord, I just ask you to just please be with us each and every day. And we just love you and praise you. Pray this in your Son. Amen.
This is my story, this is my song, my passion and purpose, the mission I'm on. The heart of the matter, when it's all said and done, I want to lead you to the cross. I'm not the water, I'm not the bread, but I know the place where your soul is fed. So hungry and thirsty, come and be blessed. I want to lead you to the cross. I will be all things to all men, just like you, Lord, a sinner's friend. That by all means you might save some. I'll be a candle, a stepping stone, a holy compass to guide you home. There's no higher call, whatever the cost, I want to lead you to the cross. I will go with you, here is my hand, whatever your burden, wherever you've been. We're all lost and lonely in a foreign land. I want to lead you to the cross. I will be all things to all men, just like you, Lord, the sinner's friend. That by all means you might save some. I'll be a candle, shown a holy compass to guide you home. There's no higher call, whatever the cost, I want to lead you to the cross, to the cross, to the cross where Jesus died. This is my story, this is my song, my passion and purpose, the mission I'm on. The heart of the matter, when it's all said and done, I want to lead you to the cross. I will be all things to all men, just like you, Lord, a sinner's friend, that by all means you might save some. I'm not the water, I'm not the bread, but I know the place where your soul is fed. So hungry and thirsty, come and be blessed. I want to lead you to the cross.
Thank you, Mary. All the kids, you're welcome to go downstairs with Mary for junior church this morning. At the start of training camp in 1961, I don't remember that day, but many of you do, Vince Lombardi, the coach of the Green Bay Packers, walked into the locker room and said to his team what would become one of the most iconic quotes in sports history. He said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." The iconic words spoken by him were all about getting back to fundamentals. Of course, he knew that his team knew what a football was. They wouldn't be there if they didn't know what a football was. But the point being made was we need to get back to the fundamentals, the basic fundamentals of what makes us us and what makes us a team and what makes us accomplish our mission. This morning, I want to remind us of the basic fundamentals of outreach. In order to grow the kingdom of Christ, we need to remember that God's plan for evangelism is that we go to those who need Him. We're living in a crazy time right now, and it may appear that the church is scattered, just like it was in the New Testament. And in a sense, it has been. Our own little church here in Waterford has kind of been scattered, not because of persecution, but just because of the pandemic that's going on. We have people that have been home and not been able to get out of their homes for the last several months. They are limited on what kind of visits they can get. Some of us aren't here today because of sickness and don't want to get other people sick as well. So we're kind of scattered out there. And I've talked to other preacher friends of mine, and there are still a lot of churches out there who are not back to even half of their attendance before the pandemic. So the church can appear to be kind of scattered right now in our country, certainly scattered in a lot of opinions on what's going on in the world today and with politics and government and just a lot of things. I just thought it'd be a great idea this morning. Our mission as a church, as it should be, being a church of Christ, following Christ, not necessarily denominational, but our mission is to bring people to the cross of Jesus, to present the gospel message to people so that they have the opportunity, like you did, to make Jesus Christ Lord of their life and decide that He is the only way to the Father and the only way to eternal life. So this morning I want to take us back to Matthew chapter 28. These are the last words of Jesus before he ascends back into heaven and sits at the right hand of God and waits for his return when he's going to take all those who belong to him home. This is his last instruction to us, his disciples. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Therefore, go. That little word go is a huge word in this command that Jesus is giving us. The place of outreach should be mainly outside these four walls. When Jesus says go, he doesn't say sit in the temple and I will send people to you. He doesn't say sit at home and I will send people to you. He says the opposite. I want you to go. Go into the world and preach the gospel. So I want to talk about two things this morning. First, how did they do it in New Testament times? How did they do basic outreach in New Testament times? How did they share the gospel of Jesus Christ when it was just getting started in the world? And then how are we to reach people today? So first, how did they do it in New Testament times? Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts shows us the early church and how Jesus got it started through his disciples. Peter gets it going. And then Paul here in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 46, makes it very clear that the early church met not only in the temple, but they also enjoyed one another's company going from house to house. They went and visited each other. They went and visited their neighbors. Now, I know we're living in a time of a pandemic, and there's certain limits to what we can do. But I want to remind each and every one, I'm going to say it at the beginning of the sermon this morning, and I'm going to say it at the end. Trust Jesus. In anything you do to share Jesus with the unreached, trust Jesus. Go when he tells you to go. Stay home when he tells you to stay home. Speak when he asks you to speak. And be silent when he calls you to be silent. The early church didn't just meet in the temple. They didn't just meet in the sanctuary on Sunday mornings. They went from house to house, enjoying the full favor of the community. And because they were doing that, God was adding to their numbers, not yearly, not monthly. Scripture says God was adding to their numbers daily, those who were being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God was growing daily because his people were going from house to house, not just sharing the gospel, but loving one another, and through loving one another, sharing the name of Jesus and the power and the love behind the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verses 3 through 4 tells us that they were scattered, and yet they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Like I said this morning, the church, it kind of seems like we're scattered a little bit. We're all in our separate little places throughout the week, and we're kind of stuck and confined to those areas. Some of us seem like we're stuck at work all week long, and that's all we do. Wherever the early church was, no matter how scattered out they were or where they were in the world or in their community or in the country, what were they doing? Preaching the gospel. You do not have to stand up at a pulpit like the preacher and preach a formal sermon to preach the gospel. No matter where God scatters you this week, no matter where you find yourself, speak the name of Jesus. That's preaching the gospel. There is power behind the name of Jesus. There is love in the name of Jesus. There is grace in the name of Jesus. And these early believers understood it. And all they did was share with their neighbors and share with those they met in the community what the God and what the man Jesus did in their life, how he changed their life, how he removed their guilt, and how he freed their spirit and their soul to live life and live it abundantly. John chapter 17, verse 15. Jesus gives this beautiful prayer. If you've not read it, I encourage you, go to John chapter 15. Jesus prays for himself. This is before he is going to the cross. Jesus prays for himself. He prays for the disciples. He prays for you and I. He prays for him and his relationship with the Father. And in that prayer, in verse 15, Jesus makes it very clear that he wants us in the world. He asks God not to take us out of the world, but protect us when we are in the world. Jesus made it very clear to the early church through his prayer to the Father, don't take them out of the world. I want them in the world. Loving as I have loved, serving as I have served, offering grace and compassion as I have offered grace and compassion. Jesus very well could have asked the Father right then and there, I'm about to forgive these people. I'm about to lay my life down for their sin. I'm about ready to remove their guilt. As soon as that is done, as soon as the victory has happened, take them home, Father. Remove them from this world. But that wouldn't have been enough, because those outside of Jesus would have no opportunity to come to him. So Jesus says, after I forgive them, after I offer them grace, after I remove their guilt, after I remove their sin, send them into the world, Lord, and protect them while they're in the world. I know we're living in crazy days today. Don't forget that when you are doing the will of God the Father, he will protect you. He will protect you physically. He will protect you mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You will have doors slammed in your face. You will have to have people tell you to shut up. You will have people who will want to disown you as a family member or as a friend because of your love and your belief in Jesus Christ. And God says, I will protect you from all of that. I will guard your hearts. I will protect your heart. I will protect your mind. And the early people knew that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, it was simply expected that believers be in contact with immoral, ungodly sinners. Talk about go back to the basics. Like I said, we're living in a time right now where the church has been scattered. People are confused about what do we do now. Just like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Sin has been around since the beginning. There's been pandemics since the beginning. There's been evil since the beginning. Nothing's changed. God expects us to live among and interact with immoral, ungodly sinners. Because guess what? You are once one of them too. Saved by the grace of God. The early church understood that. They didn't hide themselves from those who were different than them. Early on in my ministry, it amazed me. I guess I was naive of the church at that time. And we were having an outreach dinner where we invited a lot of the public to, I think it was a youth event that we were inviting a lot of the families to. And we were having this big dinner, and I happened to be standing next to one of the church elders. This is not at this church, so don't try to guess who it was. I'm standing next to this elder, and people are coming in, and this gentleman walked in. He looked like he was about 23, 24 years old, and looked quite different than the rest of us. Had bright blue hair, dressed completely different, I'll just say different than everybody else. And the elder, all he said, I was excited. I'm like, look who we're getting coming in. And the elder said, would you look at that? As if he didn't want him there. That's not where our hearts need to be. Basic outreach says you are going to interact with people that don't look like you. You are going to love people who don't act like you. You are going to walk with people who the rest of the world says doesn't deserve a companion. You are going to help people who the world will say don't deserve your help. That's basic outreach. That's what Jesus did when he walked the earth. I think sometimes as a church, it's very easy for us to look at sinners and say, how dare they? Why would we expect a non-Christian person to act Christian? But yet we do that sometimes. We need to remind ourselves, like James quoted in his communion meditation, all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. You and me included. Basic outreach means I was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to have that opportunity as well. I don't care what you look like. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how blue your hair is. I want to be your friend, and I want to introduce you to my friend Jesus. Paul made it very clear to the Corinthians, when they were being pressured to stay away from a certain population in the community, Paul made it very clear, you are expected to be in contact with the immoral and the ungodly in your community. You are to be the influence over them, not vice versa. Paul worked as a tent maker. That we know that very clear in Scripture. And I think it's pointed out in Scripture for a reason. Paul worked as a tent maker, no doubt rubbing shoulders constantly with other craftsmen in the marketplace. You think that was by accident? You think that every craftsman in the marketplace was a follower of Jesus Christ? No. You think there were other craftsmen in the marketplace who had filthy mouths? Yeah. You think there were craftsmen in the marketplace that cheated people out of their money? Yeah. Paul was there on purpose. He placed himself as a tent maker there on purpose to be an influence on those around him, not sheltering himself and not staying in the... Paul could have very easily gone from community to community and just sat in the temple and did revivals. He could have just sat in the temple and preached the entire time he was there, but no, just like Jesus, he went out into the community. So going back to the basics, if you want to say, folks, this is a football, or folks, this is a Bible, I know you know that. But I think sometimes we just need to be reminded that outreach is not scary. Outreach and evangelism is not complicated. It's not just the preacher's job. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been called to ministry. You have been called to share the gospel with Jesus. And if the church is not growing here on earth, we are not doing the will of the Father. So how are we to reach people today? The early church, they got it right. Now, don't get me wrong. If you read farther in Acts, they messed things up too, because the church was full of human beings and they messed things up. But at the beginning, they got it. And because they got it and because they were doing it, God was adding to their numbers daily. We've already seen that in the early church, the people were out there talking to everybody they met about Jesus. So let me ask you a question. Do you associate with those who are outside the church? Some of you do, and you do a wonderful job at it, and you do it intentionally. Some of you have picked careers on purpose where you are an influence on families and individuals. Praise God for you. Some of us get scared, and we like to keep our faith here, inside these four walls. I don't want to be labeled out there as a freak. I don't want to be labeled in my family, I'm talking extended family, as the weirdo. Let me tell you, Jesus was the weirdo wherever he went. And he was the weirdo for you. He laid himself out for ridicule for you. Jesus reminded us, whatever he did, why shouldn't we be doing it? He's going to be persecuted, you're going to be persecuted. He's going to be disowned, you're going to be disowned. Oh well. Your reward's not here. Your reward's at home with him. So I ask you the question, do you associate with those who are outside the church? I want to give you just a few ideas, and these are basic things I think we just need to be reminded of. I don't know that I'm going to reveal anything huge to any of you today, but boy, is this a great reminder. Don't forget, a great way to associate with people outside the church is just work with them. Work with them. Many of you go to work today, and you have coworkers, and you have influence in the community. Work with those people side by side, and somewhere in there, pray to God that the name of Jesus may be mentioned. And some of you work in positions where it's not appropriate to talk religion, politics, your opinion, any of that. Okay, fine. But it's amazing how God sometimes opens a door in those positions as well. Privately, or the name of Jesus can be mentioned. My wife works in an area that it's not appropriate to speak religion. In fact, she's been asked by her employer not to speak about religion in the workplace. You would be amazed how many times Mary's had the opportunity to mention the name of Jesus in a private meeting, or because they asked her. She's not allowed to bring it up. But boy, if they ask her, God allows her to speak. Are you an influence on those around you just by trusting Jesus to do what he said to do? Some of you don't work in the workplace. Some of you are retired. Some of you work at home. I shouldn't say you don't work. You work at home, whatever the case may be. Are you able to do community service? Working side by side with people in the community. There's plenty of opportunity to serve out in the community with people. You know, we support Heartbeat. We support Starting Point in Knox County. Those are crisis pregnancy centers. There's places in Fredericktown here that serve food to those who need food. There's places in Fredericktown and in your communities, as I know Lexington has it too, that distribute clothes and stuff right now, that do community projects. There's foundations that build playgrounds and stuff in the community. Are we working side by side? Habitat for Humanity is a great one. Just to show the love of Jesus Christ, you don't have to stand on a street corner and preach. If you don't know how to stand up and preach, all you have to do is show the love of Jesus and trust that he will give you the opportunity to share his gospel message. So I would encourage you, just work with people. But man, second thing we can do is just have fun with them. Yes, you heard me say that. Nobody says that contact with people who need Jesus has to be work. We all know people that need Jesus. We all know people who don't acknowledge him as Lord. So do something fun with them. Let me ask you, what do you enjoy doing? Do you like sports? Football, baseball, basketball, tennis, any kind of sport. Do you like sport? Involve somebody who doesn't go to church in your sport. If you, I would encourage you to join a softball league if that's what you like to do. And expose Jesus in your life to those on the softball team. There are so many people that need Jesus wherever they are, and they like to have fun too. Join whatever they're doing, have fun. Some of you like shopping. Some of you like gardening. Some of you like fishing and hunting. Some of you like crafts. Some of you just like going to the movies. Some of you like game nights. Do those fun things with people that don't go to church. For the soul, they may not know, and they might not figure it out till after they come to Jesus, if they come to Jesus. They don't have to know. But for you, having the sole purpose is I'm going to befriend them, and I'm going to pray that one day Jesus gives me the opportunity. You don't have to take them to the movies or take them fishing or take them hunting for the first time and say, sit down, I want to tell you about Jesus. That probably won't happen unless it's God's will and he opens that door wide open on the first time. For a lot of us, we're going to have to take somebody fishing or hunting or gardening or whatever for several times. And during one of those several times, God will quietly open a door where the name of Jesus will need to come out. They're going to ask you a question some way, somehow, and the Holy Spirit will open that door and you can say, you know what? Jesus can do this, or Jesus has done this for me. And when you mention the name Jesus, man, the Holy Spirit will take over. And he will speak for you. And he will soften a heart for you. So we can work with people. We can have fun with people. These are just basic outreach things to do that I think we need to be reminded, especially during this time where we've all been separated. I think one of the most important ways and easiest ways, too, that we can outreach people or reach people for Christ is just be there for them in crisis. Can you think of a more appropriate time to be there for people during crisis than now? Do you have a skill such as plumbing, auto mechanics, finances? Maybe you're good at finances. Carpentry. Are you a good listener? Whatever. There's going to be people that need help and can't afford it right now. Can you change oil? Can you change oil in a vehicle? Find the widow. Find the single mom. Find the whoever in your neighborhood who might need 20 minutes of your time and can't afford the $30 or $40 oil change this week. And say, hey, can I help you out? Or find somebody, if you're good at plumbing or electrical, or you're good at teaching whatever your hobby is, be there for them. I wonder sometimes if we ever consider helping our neighbors with a need before they even have to ask. If you see your neighbor and their gutters have been falling off their house for the last 5 years, there's probably a good reason why the gutters have been falling off and haven't been fixed. They, A, don't know how to fix it, they don't know who to call to fix it, or they can't afford to have it fixed. Say, can I help you out? I notice you could use a little help. Or just simply go into Walmart or whatever and you see a lady with four kids. Can you imagine that? Four kids struggling. Struggling with getting her basket to the van, getting all four kids round up in the van. And just, you know, simply stop. Say, hey, can I help you? Can I help you get your bags in your van or whatever? And she may say, no, thank you. Maybe she doesn't trust you, or maybe her husband told her not. Yeah, you know, whatever. But at least offer. Show the kindness of Jesus. You know, she may go down the road, you know, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You don't know. I think listening, just being a good listener, is a good way of outreach. There are many people, when we're seeing it in the world right now, there are many, many people who feel like their voice is never, ever heard. That nobody understands them. Nobody cares about their thoughts or their opinions or their hurts or their wants or their desires. Nobody listens to their voice. Can you take them out for lunch for one afternoon and just listen? Ask the simple question, how are you doing? And mean it. And when they say, I'm fine, you ask them again, say, no, how are you doing? And if they say fine again, no, how you feeling? You feeling good right now? Things going well at home? Things going well at work? Things going well at school? Whatever the case may be. You got any hurts? Ask them specific. You got any needs? I found that used to be, when I was young in ministry, that was embarrassing for me to ask that question. But I found the more times you ask that question, boy, people just start pouring out their guts. It's to the point now I go and get my hair cut, and they start out with small talk, and as soon as they find out, they ask me, what do you do for a living? I'm a preacher at the church in Waterford. As soon as they find out I'm a preacher, we go into a 20-minute session of how bad they're hurting or what's good going on in their life. As soon as people know you are a Christ follower, they will do one of two things. They will be drawn to you, or they will reject you. Look at Jesus. People were either drawn to him or they hated him. I just want to encourage you to put yourself out there. Maybe even watch their pet when they go away. Some of you do that right now. I know that. Some of you watch pets for people who don't know and understand God's grace like we do. I know that, and I thank you for ministering to those families. What an easy way to get to know somebody, or a neighbor, or a coworker, or whatever. They're going on vacation. You know, they got to, hey, you got somebody to watch your dogs this week? No, I'd be glad to watch them. What a great way to open yourself up to service. Point being is help with something they can't do or that you do better. You watch Jesus. You watch how he did ministry. He always helped people with things they couldn't do or that he could do better. What else can we do? Well, if you love Jesus and you love his gospel, and I mean really, really love him, you will talk to people. Naturally, wherever you go, in whatever you do, you're going to have to talk to people. And I know that some of you have personalities where you hate talking to strangers. I stand before you and tell you I am a natural born one of you. It is not in my personality and it is not in my nature to meet new people. I cannot, John Morrison, you're... He can meet anybody and just talk to them like he's known them their whole life. That's a gift from God. Some of you have the great ability to do that. Pat raised his hand. But then other people have different personalities for different reasons. And God has really had to work on me to do that in the last 25 years. And I thank God he has worked on me. Because without voice, to accompany the action sometimes, I wouldn't be able to mention the name Jesus. Yes, we are supposed to serve, but we're called to speak the name of Jesus, to share what Jesus has done for you, and to share what Jesus has done for them. We need to be in contact with those who need Jesus. Christ and his message are so great. You guys know that. I'm not teaching you anything new this morning. Some Sundays you get great revelation and something new. I'm teaching you basic stuff this morning. You know that Christ and his message are so great. And when we truly comprehend this, it is easy to share. And I just want to encourage you, talk about going back to the basics. Ask yourself, do you make it a practice to review the gospel? Go back into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Review the gospel. Look at what Jesus Christ has done. Review it. See what he's done for your life. Look at the book of Isaiah. Try reading something that focuses on grace. The book of Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all books that focus on grace, God's grace. Paul gave us those letters. Paul gave the churches those letters that focus on grace so that they would have something to share with their community, outreach, to remind them of how great God's love is. So the invitation this morning, simply to share Christ. Get out there. And what I say at the very beginning of the sermon, trust Jesus. Just trust him. He's called you into ministry. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, he called you into ministry. He called you into evangelism outreach to share the gospel with those around you. Trust him. Trust that he knows what he's talking about. Trust him that he knew that he picked you for a reason to be in somebody's life. You all have access to people I will never have access to unless they come to church here. You have influence over people that I will never have influence. You are hand-picked by God to be the person in that person's life, to share the grace and love and understanding of Jesus with them. I just want to encourage you, and I want to pray with you this morning to trust Jesus. Are you ready to share Jesus with a hurting world? We live, if you didn't know it, we live in a hurting world right now. We live in a very hurting world right now. They need Jesus. It amazes me how many times I watch the news in the last year. And the thing that comes out of my mouth every single time, I probably drive Mary nuts with it, they need Jesus. If they just knew Jesus, they wouldn't act like that. If they just knew Jesus, they wouldn't talk like that. If they just knew Jesus, they wouldn't think like that. We live in a world that needs Jesus, not just to grow the church numerically, but to save lives for eternity. You have friends, you have neighbors, you have family members who are going to live outside of the presence of God for all eternity because we don't speak up, because we don't participate in their lives. Don't be that. Don't have that regret when that opportunity is gone and they are gone forever. Use today. This is the day the Lord's given you. I preached that last Sunday. This is the day the Lord gave you. Use it to the best of your ability to share the gospel and the name of Jesus with somebody. That's my invitation this morning. Like every other Sunday, though, it all starts with a walk with God. And if you have not made him Lord and Savior of your life, we encourage you to do that today. And we invite you to do that this morning. If you need to make that decision for Jesus and to come forward and acknowledge him, confess with your own lips that he is Lord and he is who he says he is and accept his gift of grace, we invite you to do that this morning. For the rest of us, most of us who have already done that, trust Jesus, obey him, and go out of this building today and share the gospel message with those around. Let's stand up and make that commitment to God this morning. We are going to sing, Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on us. To trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by. by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.